Inspired by Luniverse Knoxville, we are using some out-of-this-world, high-level intergalactic technology to be able to communicate with one another here on the podcast today. It is known as Zoom. Maybe you've heard of it. We are going to be recording remotely today because apparently the Asylum 801 was just too much for you to handle, Keenan. I heard you're not feeling well.
Yeah, fortunately, I don't think Asylum 801 actually caused me to get sick, but...
But it was sick.
It was sick. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Well, in case you haven't heard, the Asylum, which is being casually referred to as, it's technically Asylum 801 at Luniverse, is the first part of the Luniverse Knoxville development from the West family, who you probably know for their collection of bars on Market Square, Preservation Pub, Scruffy City Hall, to name just a couple. This has been a few years in the making now, and we finally got to see the big unveil at Battle of the Bands a couple weeks back. And Keenan, you were there with me. And we're going to talk about not only what this venue is like, because there's a lot to unpack there, but also the implications it could have for the future of downtown Knoxville and the Knoxville nightlife scene. But before we get started, we should introduce ourselves. I am Ryan Willis, downtown growth and development reporter at Knox News.
And I'm Keenan Thomas. I'm the higher education reporter, but I also cover growth and development, too.
Well, you know, I had been over to the Asylum before you had. And so I had a little bit of an impression of it already. Coming from someone like you who just stepped foot in there for Battle of the Bands, first time ever being in that building, at least I don't believe you were there before when it was the International, which we'll get to some of the history here in a second. But what was the first impression when you walk in?
Well, my immediate first impression was that it was very easy to get to. If you're coming in from the interstate from West Knoxville, you just get off at the 17th Street and Western Avenue exit, stay straight, and then kind of veer off to the right just a little bit. But it was all of a sudden right there on my right. Parking lot was pretty easy to get in and find a spot. And then kind of that immediate first impression that hit me was, oh, this feels a little more professional because there's this big old ticket booth, not for the parking lot, that's boarded up, but there's a ticket booth to get in where you pay the cover and show your ID, as well as a bouncer and like a metal detector. My first kind of impression was like, oh, this doesn't feel like a Scott West bar yet. This doesn't feel like a Scott West joint yet. It feels more updone. It feels a little more professional.
Yeah, let me pause you for a second. I was just going to say, you know, the location, you talk about it being easy to access. I think that was a big concern that I had, you know, when this project was announced, was that it's very visible from Western Avenue. It's the big building. If you're not familiar with it, I'm pretty sure you can even see that it says the International on the side from Western Avenue, but it's down below downtown in a way. It's over there kind of adjacent to the soccer parks. And it's just, I don't know. It's not the most easiest place to think about getting to, but you're right, it's not that hard. It's practically downtown, and one of the things that's most exciting about it, which again we'll touch on here in a little bit, is just how close it is to Fort Sanders and the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. But yeah, it's not only is it easy to access by your words, not mine. I mean, I go downtown a lot, and I could still see there being a little bit of a barrier there for people to get used to exactly how to get down there. But the parking lot is huge. There's plenty of places to park. Eventually, that parking lot will become something else as part of the West sort of 10-year vision for the property. But for now, there's plenty of parking, and that's great. And so once you park and you find the front of the building, you go up to the ticket booth, like you said, you walk through the metal detectors, you walk in. Again, I'm going to rely on you here because I had been before. First impressions just of the room itself.
My first impression walking into the building proper was that it was very large. It was this very large open space, which complemented the very large stage for where the band was performing, because I walked in right in the middle of Band Eat Band. But I was very impressed by the large open space with a giant stage relative to where this competition was held before, which is at Scruffy City Hall. It felt almost like about three times as big. You almost couldn't tell. I think you've said this before recording that it didn't seem to be that big, but even though the crowd itself was probably bigger than anything Scruffy City Hall's ever seen. But that's just because it's kind of that first night. But I was
Right, you mean
very
like,
impressed by that.
yeah, you mean like that, you know, there was a lot of people in there, but in a big room, it looks like there wasn't as many people in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with that. I'll tell you, just like you said, I mean, the number of people that were over there, I think would have had a hard time fitting in to Scruffy City Hall, had the competition and had everybody come out for it, you know, at the former venue. But I will say, the space, Scott West told me, is similar in size to the Mill and Mine, and I believe it. And just like the Mill and Mine, there's a balcony as well. The balcony is reserved for VIP seating, so that's pretty much $300 a table for 10 seats, and you get access to the VIP bar up there as well. So really like a true club atmosphere. But I think you're burying the lead a little bit here, Keenan. And that is what I think is the most obvious thing as soon as you walk in, is the incredible visuals. I mean, this is something that I feel like, and I've said this to a couple people, was missing from downtown Knoxville. You have Southbound, you have Hannah's, you have those kind of clubbing atmospheres. There's a difference between going clubbing and going to a club, I think. You can go clubbing anywhere as long as there's loud music and you can dance. Going to a true nightclub should be a full experience. And so as soon as you walk in, and I think they had this on display just because it was opening night and the first customers coming in maybe had heard about the extraterrestrial intergalactic theming of the Luniverse. And so they had this giant alien visual on the main screen behind the stage, which is a large LED screen. But then on the walls, you have these projectors that are kind of like, Keenan, I think you're a big movie guy, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, pretty big movie guy,
Yeah, I think
relatively.
you've seen a few. You've seen a few movies.
Seen quite a few.
Yeah, for people who don't know, Keenan is a huge movie buff. But you've been to Regal Theaters and you've seen the Screen X, is kind of what I've been comparing it to, which is you go to a Screen X movie, you have the main screen in front of you, along the walls, things are kind of blurred out a little bit, almost like your peripheral vision, to kind of make you feel a little bit more immersed in the room. And I feel like you get exactly that at the Asylum, where you are immersed. The images that are being shown on the big screen, they're not being blurred out, but they're on projector screens, which I think is a good call. I think maybe they were looking at possibly doing some LED screens on the wall, but the projectors on the side walls makes it feel like, you know, it's still this big club, it's still this professionally run club, but it still feels authentic and like you are in a Scott West and Bernadette West establishment. You feel like somebody put those screens up. You feel like somebody hung those disco balls from the ceiling. You feel like somebody put up those Luniverse signs and the black lights and everything. And I think that was one of the things that felt most special to me, is it felt like just a genuine place, which you don't really get with nightclubs. I think nightclub culture kind of has a negative connotation sometimes. It's all about just, you know, getting intoxicated and meeting strangers and dancing with them. And, you know, it's just kind of a party atmosphere, which certainly is in the plans. I mean, that's what they're trying to create over at the Asylum. But I don't know, it just felt a little bit more comforting and welcoming to see some different types of visuals, some different types of art, to really infuse art, I guess, into a club atmosphere.
And I do actually like the projectors probably better than an LED screen on the sides, because it's a little more stretched out, but there's a different aesthetic that it gives off. And it matches with you mentioned the disco balls, but that was my other thing. One of my other notes is when I looked up finally and actually took a glance at the ceiling for a little while, the disco balls almost like makeshift. They look like they were DIY. Scott made them in probably one of his bars or in a garage or something, and I kind of liked that feeling. And that's kind of the overall feeling that Asylum 801 gave me, is it feels a little DIY, it feels a little scrounged together, kind of like Scott West bars, but in a more professional atmosphere, in trying to become a more legitimate nightclub. And I think you can see that too with how the bars are presented. They're really well lit. They look really nice. The bartenders were dressed up. All the male bartenders I saw had like little suit jackets on or suit vests on and button-ups. They had waitresses kind of going around this venue and checking on people or even taking orders. It fit with the large Mill and Mine-esque space, which also was complimented later when the DJ came out and made it really feel like a nightclub. I'll also add, I talked a lot about how large the venue is, but surprising to me was the sound quality. Like, we were sitting off to the right, like towards the middle, next to the wall, and it sounded great. Like, I had zero issues hearing anything that the band or even the DJ was playing or performing. It was quite impressive.
I think one thing that's impressive too, or that's important, is that we talked about this being a more comfortable, welcoming sort of artistic take on a traditional nightclub that you might find in a big city. I think that's good considering its location. You're kind of underneath the viaduct. You're in a place that looks a little, maybe I shouldn't be here, which is something I think, comes with some intrigue. It makes you wonder what's inside. If you got inside and it was just if it wasn't professional, the way that Scott West and Bernadette West had presented it, you might feel a little bit uneasy. Or if it was over the top professional, if it just didn't seem genuine, that would be bad as well. But I feel like this is the perfect mix of feeling exclusive and underground while at the same time being welcoming to people who maybe aren't used to going to see shows or go see DJs underneath a bridge somewhere. And this is going to be something that now that it's open, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, it will be open. $10 covers. They're doing something special on the Thursday nights for the half price entry for college students with college IDs. And I think that is where we transition into the implications of this and what this means for the future of downtown Knoxville, because I have talked a lot here on the show before about, in fact, we had a whole episode dedicated to it once that was, is Knoxville a college town or is it a town with a university in it? And before I've talked about, and I still feel this way, that you took the university away, downtown Knoxville. Granted, when you think about all the graduates and the money and people sticking around and starting business that were graduates of UT, of course, that has an impact on it. But if you were just looking at downtown, took UT out of the picture, I don't think downtown would look that different. And part of the reason why is because there's still this barrier between downtown and Knoxville. Henley Street, it's like a highway going through our downtown. And even though downtown Knoxville and the university are close, they still feel disconnected. I think one of the surprising things for me is when I looked at Asylum, if you walk out front by the ticket booth and you just look over at nighttime, you'll see some string lights in trees and along porch decks. Those houses are part of Fort Sanders, which is where all these college students live. And you think about clubbing atmosphere, of course, that's going to resonate more with college students. If you can bridge that gap and now, getting people that maybe didn't always come downtown and they're still not really coming downtown. I mean, the Asylum isn't, it is downtown, but it isn't downtown. It's kind of off the beaten path a little bit. But if you can encourage those students to come into, if you're the West, a West family business, and start to mingle with people. And I noticed when I was there the first week that there was a lot of people that I've seen familiar faces from Band Eat Band competition when it was at Scruffy, a lot of familiar faces from people that I normally see at Preservation Pub. I heard that there were some people who were there that used to go to the International and the Concourse when those venues were on the property and just wanted to come see the new space. So if you start to see these people mingling together, maybe pulling some of the university students over to your business, and maybe, we all know Scott West is a shameless promoter. And so if you have them in Asylum and you have something big going on at Preservation Pub, being able to market that to the college students is great. And so I think there's real potential here for the lines between downtown and the university to become more blurred in a good way, in the sense that there is now an asset that both the downtown community and the university community can truly get behind.
Along with that, I would say that Asylum 801 has the potential to really hit the early 20s to about early 30s demographic. So capturing those later year college students, but also that post-college young adult age group that sort of is lacking a real nightlife place to go to. Like you have Southbound, you have Hannah's, but those are just more like slightly elevated bars that are almost a nightclub, but not really. And so,
And seemingly targeted, almost, if not targeted, patronized by almost exclusively college students, it seems too.
yeah.
So if you're in that age range and you don't want to hang around the college students, yeah, where do you go?
Like, and I think Asylum 801 has, it really does have that potential to grab it. And I think it's based on both the $10 cover that you mentioned, which you said before should be permanent. And if so, then I think that's a great entry price to get in and enjoy for an hour, 2 hours, for a night. But also, just in general, is a new and an exciting venue to go out and explore. Because I like we go out sometimes. We're about 5 years different in age, and we end up only going to the same few bars over and over again. That, yeah, they're fun, and like some of them are unique or have different aesthetics. Like you have Scruffy City Hall compared to Alice in Appalachia, compared to Fly By Night, compared to
You know, Bicetri's a
Sutri's.
lot too, yeah.
Yeah, but having something that's more of like a no, we're going to be a nightclub first or a music venue first. That's also a more visually stimulating and loud nightclub venue spot, I think, is something that Knoxville has been missing, and something that I think, like I said, could really tap into that market.
You call it a spot. I think that's a good way to think about it because it's not just if you want to see a band play in downtown Knoxville, you have really options on two ends of the spectrum. You can go pay tickets to go see them play, or you know, maybe the Millamine or at the Tennessee Theater, at the Bijou Theater, or you can pay maybe a $5 cover or $10 cover, $15 cover to get into one of the West bars in our Market Square. Then you're watching a band in a bar, and it's not quite a concert. Or, you know, maybe you see a guy playing acoustic guitar at a brewery somewhere. Not really a concert. What I like about the Asylum is every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there's going to be live music. You could say that about Preservation Pub and Scruffy City Hall too, but again, those are, they would argue that maybe they're a music venue and a bar equally. I would say those are bars first, music venues second. I like the idea of there being a music venue that is pretty much guaranteed to be open every weekend without you having to necessarily want to shell out the money for an artist that you want to see, if that makes sense. So like I don't, you know, maybe on a weekend I want to go see a concert, but not every weekend I want to pay top dollar to go see a band, but I still want that concert experience. You know that the Asylum will be open. And I think that's one of the most exciting things about it too, is you were at that competition and you saw the bands that were playing there during the Band Eat Band competition, which, like you said, it seems like I've been a judge and you know, reporting on that competition forever. It's been happening every Thursday. And by the way, just shameless plug for that too, because Knox News is involved with it through our Empty Stocking Fund. It's one of the charities that gets some of the proceeds from the sales at those events. You spend $5, you get to donate to a charity, you get to pick for your favorite band, and get to be part of the judging process at these Band Eat Band events. And Empty Stocking Fund, the West family recently, I guess not recently now, but during this competition, presented us with a $4,200 check for Empty Stocking Fund, which was awesome, and we're so appreciative of that. But this whole competition has been about cultivating the music scene in a way. I think Scott West has always viewed his bars as the place where the band who's about to be the next big band plays, and he has a proven track record of that. You've had Caged Elephant has played that Preservation Pub stage before, the Avett Brothers, Chris Stapleton, and so he has a track record of doing that, and he was fine admitting, and I'm even fine admitting too, that we both weren't plugged into the music scene quite the way, in his case, he used to be, in my case, coming up on 6 years here, the way that I would like to be plugged into the music scene. And so, if you're talking about cultivating music, you can give him a place to play. He's been doing that. But to give local bands a stage like the one that's at Asylum to play on every weekend, eventually, I think he will try to get some bigger names over there. But you saw the bands doing it. The first band that played was High Heat, and they just kept making comment after comment about how awesome a venue this is, how great it is we get to play this stage. And you look at it, and it's not just, you know, a stage, go up there and play. They have professional sound and lighting going on. Somebody actually back there doing the lights for their shows in time with their music. And watching that band, I mean, I feel like it elevated their performance. It gave them a chance to feel, and I mean, heck, they are rock stars, but to really, you know, feel like they were putting themselves on, showcasing themselves in a way that they maybe normally wouldn't get to. So I think, you know, I could really see this changing the nightlife scene and the entertainment scene and sense of it being an incubator of sorts.
I was just going to add that I think, like, I came in during High Days, right as they had started their performance, and I think it's probably the best they've ever sounded. Having seen them at Scruffy City Hall a few times, but on that stage, they really popped, like, in a way that I almost wasn't expecting. And I want to also add something to what you mentioned with Scott saying that he wants to bring in higher level bands or like higher end bands. Over time, I would not discredit this venue and being a potential heavy hitter in terms of the music venue space here in Knoxville. Like, I do think I can see this easily becoming a Mill and Mine or Bijou competitor in the next like year, even year or two.
Yeah, I could see that too. I think
Like,
the
it has
Mill.
the capacity, it has the sound quality, it has the space, the in the actual like aesthetic, the vibe it's cultivating with its atmosphere is pretty on par with every venue here in Knoxville.
Yeah, I would say above par in some cases. I mean, it was a music venue before, so that helps out a lot when you think about bringing in touring artists, because there are green rooms behind the stage, above the stage, so that's awesome. You mentioned potentially, competing with the Mill and Mine. The Mill and Mine recently, I feel like it's, I don't know. I mean, when I first moved here, I felt like there was a lot of bands that were playing on the festival circuit that were coming through, and I've noticed a lot more of a skew towards country and pop country that's been coming through, which, not to discredit that, but I think Scott West is a little bit more willing to push boundaries when it comes to the types of music that would be there. I mean, the International and the Concourse, and really specifically the Concourse, which has since moved to a shopping center on Broadway, but that whole hub down there for a long time was considered kind of like the place where the music that doesn't really get heard on the main stages in Knoxville would go to find a place to play. I mean, you would have a lot of EDM music over there. There is a story, lore that actually is true, but that Marilyn Manson played a show over there one time and requested that he have a green room that everything was black, from the toilet to the carpet to the, so they made Marilyn Manson this big black green room, a black room, I guess. But the
I'm still upset that I never saw JPEG Mafia there. I should have gone. But I
JPEG
went to a
Mafia.
metal show there.
I think, what
Yeah.
was that at the concourse on
That was at the
Broadway?
concourse on Broadway. Yeah.
But the International and the Concourse, the previous iteration of the Concourse, used to get a lot of that music in there. So I could see it potentially getting maybe like JPEG Mafia is a good example, or maybe, just some up and coming punk rock band that maybe isn't quite big enough to play the Mill and Mine, or maybe the Mill and Mine doesn't want to take a chance on them, or whatever. I mean, I just feel like Scott is, in the past, has been more willing to open up his mind to different types of music, perhaps. And at a bar, I think maybe some criticism you would get is, okay, well, Cage the Elephant played here before, Avett Brothers played here before, Chris Stapleton played here before. Why is that not, happening at Preservation Pub anymore? And I think part of it maybe has to do, and I'd have to talk to Scott about this, but again, that is a bar first. So what do you focus on? You focus on bringing in bigger names, or do you focus on carrying out your operations as a bar? I think he tries to do both, but definitely with a venue like the Asylum, he'll be able to focus a lot more, I think, on the music that he's curating there. Now, two concerns I can think of, and I'm only bringing those up just for conversation. I'm not even sure that they're really concerns as much as they are just things to think about. But thinking about, how I mentioned that the Asylum is a little bit off the beaten path. It's downtown, but it's not. You could walk it from Market Square. Do you want to? I don't know. How do you picture this fitting into a night out? And I'll tell you, the other night I was working with my wife over at an event she had for her work at the Marriott Hotel in downtown Knoxville. And we were asking ourselves, like, do we want to go get a couple drinks downtown, or do we want to go to the Asylum? And I'm wondering how much of that is going to be part of conversations for other groups of people. Does the Asylum fit into a night out, or does it have to be your night out? I don't know if I could see myself, bouncing around bars and then making my way to the Asylum, but maybe. I'm just curious what your thoughts are, having been there and seen it and been there, done that, I guess. Where do you see this sort of fitting into people's overall nights out in the town?
I can kind of see it in one of three ways. The first one, obviously, just being that Asylum 801 is your night out. You just go there, it's the only place you go out that night. It's a $10 cover. You can get cheap drinks. I just got cheap drinks when I was there, but you can feel nice going out, spending 40, 50 bucks to get in and have drinks and have a good time. I would especially suggest that if you know who's playing or if there is a band or DJ playing that night, so that way you can kind of get the most out of it. But other than that, the other two ways is I can either see it being the beginning of a night or the ending of a night. If it's the beginning of a night, you can probably just park your car there if you feel comfortable with that, and then either catch an Uber or potentially walk downtown if you're okay with that. That's obviously like it could probably be at night and you want to be careful. So I also, understand if someone's not willing to do that. But I can also see it though being an ender for the night. Catch an Uber, or again, if you're comfortable walking, head there at the very end, get in for $10, vibe for, however long you want, and then call it a night there. So I cannot see it really being a good spot for the middle of a night out, unless for some reason you're already over there. But I think it would be hard. You'd be hard pressed to find anyone going from bar to bar downtown, going to a Sialamata one, then going back either downtown or in a different area of town.
Right, yeah, I could see it being a nightcap for sure, but I do think you could spend an entire night, like you said, at Asylum. One of the things with it being empty, and granted, maybe one day it is going to be packed in there shoulder to shoulder, but as somebody who doesn't dance, who doesn't, I mean, I dance a little bit, I don't like going clubbing though, the grinding and just shoulder to shoulder sweating, nothing to do except stand around and dance. That's never been my vibe, but I will say that I did like it at the Asylum because it was big enough where. And this was the cool thing about it was you saw these little pockets of people all around, and they would converge at points to dance together and mingle amongst one another. But it's so big that you could potentially, go out with a group and still have your own space on a night out, which I thought was cool. You have to pay for the tables, which I've heard some people complaining about that or complaining about the idea of that. I mean, it's a club first. I mean, every table that you have, that's less people that you can get in there. It takes up more space. So I get that. And if people will pay for it, people will pay for it. But even without a table, I mean, at least now early on, there's enough room for you and your friends to get together, hang out. There's an alleyway that if you need to go outside for a minute, you can step right into the alleyway. They've been selling hot dogs out of the alleyway. I've heard they're going to get a smoker for some barbecue and some brisket over there as well. Preservation Pub pizzas are supposed to be served over there as well. So there's food, there's drinks. I almost equated it to feeling like I was in like an old like retro laser tag arena with all the laser lights and just the black lights and how it felt in there. So it's comfortable. It's fine for hanging out. I could see it being a nightcap. I could also see you spending an entire night there. The other thing I was going to say, and again, not a concern, just curiosity. You talked about the Asylum being a place that can attract both the college nightlife crowd and also potentially attract the nightlife crowd that is used to going downtown into Market Square bars or maybe went to the International before. Would it be a turnoff, do you think, at all, for college students? Again, it's not my vibe to be in that clubby atmosphere, but I know for some college students that is the vibe. And I just wonder how it would be if, I was a college student and I wasn't a judgy college student, but if I was a college student and I walked in and well, who are all these older people here? Who are all these people that have been going to Scott West bars for years? Do you see those crowds being able to mix? Because while Preservation Pub and Scruffy City Hall do get a good mix of different types of people, I don't know necessarily that college students dominate that atmosphere. And I'm just wondering if this truly will serve everyone, if it can serve both the college students and the downtown folks.
I think it will, because like you mentioned, it's so big that you can kind of corner a pocket of any spot inside and have that be your little space with your friends, as well as the people around you. So I can see it. I can see people coexisting here. When we were at the we were at Preservation Pub in Bernadette's last week before I got sick, and I kind of took note of the different demographics of people I saw, and I did see a lot of younger folks, the 20 to 30-year-olds, all throughout each bar, but especially on Bernadette's roof, Bernadette's Press Pub's roof. I feel like I've always seen a younger crowd there, and so if you like that vibe, I think you'll like Asylum 801, and so I can see it definitely overall gearing towards the younger demographic, and we'll probably see that younger demographic more there over time. I can kind of see the older crowd popping into Asylum, checking it out, seeing what's up. I also can see them going once and not really going again, preferring more of the Scruffy City Hall or Preservation Pub vibe.
Right, that's kind of what I was wondering. I mean, if down the road it becomes all college students, which hey, I mean, they need a place to hang out. If it's bridging the gap between downtown and the university, I'm for it. But If it gets overrun with college students, if it becomes a southbound in Hannah's, which I don't think it will be. I could see people being maybe turned off by it. But again, I do not think it will be. So, you know, I'm happy hanging out with anyone. I'm happy to have a new place. You know, anytime a new business opens up in downtown, it's exciting to be able to explore it. And this is one that you truly can explore. I think, you know, go there, check it out for yourself. This is, I think if there's one thing to take away from my experience there is that it's a very visually and sonically stimulating place. And so as much as we can talk about it here on the podcast, I think you're best served by going and seeing it for yourselves. Speaking of sonic stimulation and sonic experiences, thank you for listening to the podcast this week. We appreciate having you here every week. And if you do not sign up for alerts already, make sure you don't miss the next episode by clicking that like or subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening on. And that way you'll get a notification every time a new episode drops, or you can just come back here on Tuesdays. I would love to hear your thoughts of the Asylum. If you go there and checked it out, if you have any questions about it, you can always give me a follow on Instagram at Knox Scruff and shoot me a message there. Or you can send me an email to ryan.wilusz@knoxnews.com. Keenan, what's the best way for people to keep up with your work?
Can just subscribe at knoxnews.com. Look out for my UT coverage, or you can follow me on X at Special K 2 Real. That's the number 2. Or shoot me an email at keenan.thomas@knoxnews.com.
Yeah, you mentioned subscribing. Always got a good deal going on over at knoxnews.com. So head on over to subscribe.knoxnews.com to take advantage of our latest offer and get unlimited access to everything we discuss here on the show, which, as you know, is all the downtown content your heart could desire. But that's in addition to all of the sports and politics and business and growth and development and education and all the types of news that we're reporting on every single day, from stories to photos to videos to podcasts all across East Tennessee. Really, you can't beat it when it comes to covering local news. We're doing awesome work over there. Keenan, you're a big part of that. You're a big part of it in the sense of me and you share newsletter duties. So that's something else I like to promote here before we sign off. Check the podcast description. In addition to the links to stories about Asylum 801, which I'm going to include there, I'll also include a link to the Urban Knoxville newsletter, which comes out every Friday, again, authored by me and Keenan, as well as the Urban Knoxville Facebook group, which is another way to get you plugged in into the downtown discussion. And if you haven't before, leave us a review. Tell us what you love about the show, maybe what you'd like to hear us talk about next. Say 5-star one if you would. Yeah, we'll be back again next week. Hopefully, we will see you out at the Asylum. I'm sure I'll see you out all around downtown Knoxville. And seriously, never hesitate to reach out. And as always, thanks for listening. So until next time, stay scruffy, Knoxville. And Keenan, we'll have you on here again soon. I appreciate you joining.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right,
See y'all
y'all.
later.
Yeah, all right, y'all. See you later.